Midbar Sinai, Boil Noyim Echel Achoydish. So Rashi says over here, Mitoichi Bosom Lefon of Maino Isam, Kol Shoah. Because Klal Yisrael is so dear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he counts them at every moment. Kishiyosim in Mitzrayim, Mono. They left Mitzrayim, he counted them. Kishnoflu Be'egel, Mono. To know how many were left over. Which is now in the Midbar. The Midbar needed a certain minyan for the Shechina to rest on. Mona. He counted them again. Shecheskel Sarna, the Chevroner of Yeshiva, says that you see over here the counting of the Bnei Yisrael is not merely a means of knowing how many Yidden there are. Partially, you say it's a means to know how many Yidden there are. It's for a purpose. It's a hechsher to know how many Yidden there are. But over here, Rashi says, Mitoichi Bosom. That means in the counting itself, there's a tachlis. Marshal Ma'adavar Daim. I always say this, Marshal. They say it over the Gabi Sphere Sa'imer. It says, Asartem Lochem, Mimachos HaShabbos. What's the Lochem? Marmon Rochus has a drasha for it, but I heard a very nice word. There are two people that count their money at the end of the day. One of them counts it like this, quickly, ties it up and puts it away in a drawer. And there's another one that counts 20, 40, 60, says it slowly, mamish, like he savors every counting. What's the difference between the two? The first one's a bank teller. He has no emotional attachment to the money. If he does, the closer his attachment, the quicker he'll be looking for another job. The second one is a storekeeper counting up his profits for the day. So by him, every bill that he counts is a special hanah of him. Torah tells us by Sviru, Svartem Lochem, count the days as if you're wrong. Count like you're the storekeeper, because each day is a new acquisition. HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts the Bnei Yisrael with that chiba, not stop up to count it, just to know how much there is. He counts the Bnei Yisrael because that's him counting by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because he cherishes them, he counts them constantly because the counting is a special anov for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Sfarim say there's another purpose in the counting. And that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that for the tikkun of Klal Yisrael, they're going to have to be for many, many years in Golus. In Oy Vazoy, it's very easy for them to become Batel Beroiv. But we know that a Dover Hamoni, something which is counted, it gets a certain chashivas, and it's not Batel Beroiv. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bedavki counts them over and over again. They are a nation which is kedai to count because they are choshev. And because they are a Dover Hamoni, they'll never become Batel Beroiv. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to instill in Klal Yisrael. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe le'emor, Achas Mata Levi Loisivkoi. You should not include the Mata Levi that's Roshem Loisisa B'soich B'nei Yisrael. And the Torah says this twice. The Torah mentions it over here, Achas Mata Levi Loisivkoi. And then again later on, it says, V'ahalavim lehospogdu b'soich b'nei Yisrael, kashetziva Hashem es Moshe. Why does the Torah underscore this fact that the Levim were not included in the regular minyan? They were counted, but they weren't counted amongst the regular minyan of Klal Yisrael. So Chaim Shmulevitz says, Amoyi d'kizach. Chaim Shmulevitz, that's all, says that Rashi brings down that the reason why the Levim were not counted amongst the Bnei Yisrael, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the future, that Klal Yisrael is going to have a gzeir on them, Ibn Esam Shon of Amala, they're going to die in the Midbar. So he said he doesn't want the Levium to be in the Klal of this minion, because whoever is in the Klal of this minion will be Nichol in the gzeir. He didn't want the Levium. The Levium were the ones that were loyal to him by the Chayta Egel. The Levium were the ones that remained loyal in Mitzrayim. They didn't go out to work and mingle with the Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want them to be included in the same minyan, so that the Gzeirah should not be chal on them. Zokrav Chaim, it's Mavur in the Medrash, that even if they, Shevet Levi, the greatest tzaddikim, the Yoru Mishpatach Liyakov, even though they're the greatest tzaddikim, but had they been included in the minyan, the Gzeirah would have been chal on them also. Zokrav Chaim, Many asked the question, how could it be? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have allowed that he should be killed. Many other tzaddikim, Rav Menachem Zembe, or other gedolei olam, mamish, that were included in the gzeirah. How's it shach? How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu let such a thing happen? So Chaim says, you see over here, from this parasha here, there's a zamin hanhog of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that once rishus is given on a klal, even the people themselves are not roy for such a gzeirah. But if they're nichlul in the cloud, so then already there's a certain hanhag about Kodesh Baruch Hu, the gzeiris chal on all of them. V'horai shevet Levi, milonu gadol mi shevet Levi. Had they had been included in the minyan, they would have had been included in the yainish. That's a certain hanhag about Kodesh Baruch Hu, which we don't understand first aitzah, because we look at things each individual didn't deserve it. We don't understand the drachim of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Over lemaisa, you see that from over here. That once someone's included in the klal, he gets swept along with the klal, no matter what his own personal madrega is. Zokr Chaim, if this is a rule by bad things, by einshim, we know that midah tovah is merubim and midah parani is mamish, who knows how many times over. So that's the case when it comes to bracha, and when it comes to being saved with the klal. So someone that includes himself with the klal, is zoicha to the brachas of the cloud. He's zoicha to the Yeshua of the cloud. And someone that doesn't include himself is not going to be zoicha to the brachas of the cloud. That's a lesson that we learned from over here. The Maisa Shahoya, the Navardiki Yeshiva, one time, the communists were holding a major rally, mamish, in a building right opposite the Navardiki Yeshiva. Or she was a sakona for the yeshiva, you know. So there were those that felt that during those days of the rallies, the whole convention, the communist convention, there were those that felt they should close down the yeshiva, you know, and last a few days, a week, and then afterwards the yeshiva will come back and continue. The Alf and the Vardik said, B'shamay from the Inyan, not. The yeshiva is not closing because of some, you know, kfiri, the convention. The Zdorim will go on as usual. And sure enough, Beis Medrash was packed, Zdorim went on as usual, and there might have been those that were wondering, you know, of it. And Emunas Chachamim, the Alta from the Vardik, said, Vizehu, it's a Maisa. One day in the middle, a bunch of these Bolsheviks came in, you know, what's going on? They see Jews, and they see they're screaming at each other, and Meshlokzach and Lernin, so these guys are crazy, the Beis Meshagon, they walked out, they let them go, they let them alone. There were two Bachrim that Lamaisa did not stay in the Beis Medrash. And two Bachrim, they were hiding under their beds in the dorm facilities, and they came in there, and sure enough, Rahman al-Islam, those two Bachrim were killed. So, I'll say this. Chaim says that when it comes to Inyanim of Bracha, it was like that he said in the Mir Yeshiva also. The Mir Yeshiva went to Shanghai. Not everybody held that would be the big issue for them. There were a couple of very cautious people that decided to take their own route. They didn't make it. Chaim said, we saw it with our own eyes during the Hatzalah, that those that didn't go along with the Rabban, they taki did not make it. Kol Zohar Mibenes Roshona V'mala, Kol Yoytzei Tzava. By every one of the countings, it says this. Kol Zohar Mibenes Roshona V'mala, Kol Yoytzei Tzava. Anyone that was fit to go out to the army. So Rechaim HaKodesh says, Kol Yoytzei Tzava, the Torah is telling us over here, by every single one of the numbers, that every single one of them, there was not one that was not ready to go to the army. They were all Gibayrei Koyach, they were all fit to fight in the war. That's a Kol Yoytzei Tzava. And this is a nace that you don't find by the other Umayis. You're not going to find, when you count the numbers of Lumas to Olam, that every single one of them is fit to go out to war. Over here it says, Kol Yoytzei Tzava, to tell us they were all fit to go out to war. So, this is a Moedik and Moedik Gezach. What's Taka the Pshat? So, who are the Gebeirei Koyach that were right to go out to the Melchama? We know, Sefer Dvarim, when the Meshulach Melchama used to go out and make his announcement, Mi Ha'isha Yorei V'rach Halibot. So anybody that even spoke between Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh, or spoke between Yishtabach and Yoitzer, they were not fit to go out. So these were the Giboyre Koyach, the Yoitzei Tzava, that they were able to go out and fight, and they were Takim and Atzayach. And the Torah's Meir tells over here that every single one of them was able to go out. And the Pasuk promises us, Ki Hashem Elokechem is Halich, Bekar Machanecha, Lahatzilcha, Velosis Oivecha Lefanecha, Vahoyo Machanecha Kodesh. Kolzman, the Machna will be Kodesh, Kolzman Klal Yisrael, they guard their Kedusha, that's considered the Givarei Kayach, that are the Yoytzei Tzav. The Goyim knew this. Goyim were makir this, that the Yoytzei Tzava were only Giborei Kayak because of their Kedusha. And the Meila Midyan Taka caught on, or with the Eitz of Bilam, and they were Taka Makshal them with the Menois Moyov, and that's Taka how Klal Yisrael, they faltered them. It's a terrible Mapala for Klal Yisrael. When they went out to Melchama against Midyan, the Rechaim HaKadosh says, they counted Elef Lamata, only 1,000 per shaved. Which is quite a very small amount, 12,000 soldiers against the whole army of Midian. Like, what's the pshat? How are they able to do it? The answer is, Agdar Chaim HaKadosh, that this Elef Lamata, they were Yechide Yechidim in Kedusha. They were Shomer their Einayim, they were Shomer on Kedusha, they didn't look up, they didn't look around. They were totally Isaac in Kedusha, and that's why the amount was little, and that's why they were not able to be Menatzeach. These were the Bechirei, Klal Yisrael, the holiest of Klal Yisrael, and this is the way Klal Yisrael's Menatzeach. I'd like to say over a few Machshavis, B'negei Matan Torah. Vayishyatzu B'sachtes Hohor, the Gemara B'sachtes Shabbos, Da Peches says, Nulameid Shekof Aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Esahar Kigigas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he forced upon them the mountain like a big keli, like a big vat. And he told them, "Im atem mekabel es haTorah mutav, if you'll be mekabel the Torah is good, v'im lav, and if not, shom tehei kvuraschem, there will be your burial spot." Famous question of the Rishonim is that if they already said Naaseh v'nishma, they accepted it willingly. So what was the purpose of forcing them into that? What would you gain by that? Tosfos asks the kasha in Shabbos. Tosfos says Hashem was afraid that they'd see the koilus and the brokim and the fire, and that would make them have charate. Use kafalim as har kigigas. The Rashi says a different teretz that the kabbal of Naaseh and Ishma was only on Torah Shabbat, which is finite. You know, you have the halachas and you're able to see them. Torah Shabbat is endless; it's infinite. It takes a mevus v'yigia, and also it's mechayavus in many, many, many more halachas. It's, you know, ruby Torahsi, as the pasuk calls it. Rive of the Torah is Torah Shabbat peh. So that takes more of his chayvus. They were not mishabed themselves yet with that. For that, you need a kofalim as a haraki gigas. But the Maggid says another pshat. The Maggid says a marshal. There were two mothers that took their young children to the doctor. Both of them did not want to eat. So one of them, the doctor checked out, and the doctor tells the mother, give the baby Nemshmeif, and the kid's not eating, and the kid's fussy and crying and not happy. She tells one mother, give it the following medicine, and Nemshmeif and the Indian, don't force it to eat. Wait till the child wants to eat on its own. Okay. Then comes the other mother that's right there, who checks out the kid, asks her a few questions, and he tells the mother, first thing you get home, force food down the baby's mouth. They're both looking at the doctor. You know, we both came with the same problem. Both children are not eating. And the first one you say, don't touch it. You know, wait till he wants to eat. And the other mother you say, Mama's just the opposite. What's the pshat? So the doctor said that the emphasis is that both children are talking, suffering from not eating. But the siba for their not eating is two different things. I was able to ascertain that the first child has a ruined stomach, something wrong with the stomach. Stomach has to rest. So I gave medicine and let the stomach rest, it clears out. And when the child is talking hungry, it's gonna eat on its own. B'shem Eifim, don't force. The other mother had just stopped nursing. And the child was used to one sort of a food. And The child doesn't know yet that the other food is going to be good for it. But if the child tastes the other food and he likes it, he's going to eat it. So force the food down the kid's throat, and, you know, the kid will see that the food is good and all things is good. It says, Klal Yisrael, the Etzem, the Goyim of the world, Hashem did not force them with the Torah or whatever, because he knew they had ruined stomachs. They are mushchasim. And forcing them to keep the Torah is not going to do any good. They're not interested. But he knew the Betzim Klal Yisrael, the Ben Avram Yitzchak V'Yankiv, and Betzim Yeru Ruchni is the Kineshim. But they're not used to having so many mitzvahs. They're not used to the Torah. But the minute I force them and I get a taste of it, they're talking to accept it. Those are the Dubna Magid, why the forcing was necessary. And with this, he explains a famous chazal. It says, Lost his love, the guy are going to come with a taina. The guy are going to taina ta kodesh baruch hu. Klum kofisa olenu esahar ki gigis. If you would have forced us like you forced Klal Yisrael, then we would have done it. Ta kodesh baruch hu answers back. And the design mitzvahs that you had, were you mekayim those? What's the answer? Teretz HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling them. Kfiya only helps by someone that be'etzem, they're healthy and ruchnias, right? And they want to do mitzvahs. And Klal Yisrael kept whatever mitzvahs they had through a Messiah, and they simply kept designing mitzvahs in Eimayah. Now they weren't sure about these new mitzvahs, will it fit with them? I forced them, and how could they like it? But people that rejected what they already had, they're mushlus me'ikara. For them, it's not going to help the forcing. And the male, you have no taina whatsoever. This is the pshat from the Dubna Magid. We say in the Haggadah on Pesach, Ilu kervonu lefnei har Sinai, v'loinosan lonu es ha-teira dayen. Famous question is, what would be the purpose of bringing us to har Sinai without giving us the Torah? Well, it's now it's a tease to bring us to har Sinai. Oh, but no, you can't have the Torah. It's a famous question. Many truths are given. Rabbi Yashiv Hatzal said over in the name of Hazeda, the Baal HaLeshem, he says the following. It says, Ilu kervonu lefnei har Sinai v'lein nosan lonu es ha-tayru. What does nesin es ha-tayru mean? It doesn't just mean telling us the halachas. We would have known the halachas anyway. We had a Messiah from the Ovis HaGdoshim. Ovis HaGdoshim kept kol ha-tayru kula. There were certain mitzvahs Hashem notified us in Mara. Mitzvahs we would have known. And Chazal also say the Torah would not have been given. We would have learned different things from the Bria. What does it mean, Nosan Lanu Es HaTorah? He made us a bailam over the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Torah, so the Malachim, they protested vehemently. Mali Eloi Dish Beinenu, what is this mortal doing? What were they protesting about? Stam, they didn't want Klal Yisrael to be Mekayim the Mitzvahs. What's wrong with Klal Yisrael being Mekayim the Mitzvahs? The Farsim say they did not want them to become the arbiters, the interpreters of the Torah. So they're mortals, they're human beings, they have the Yetzirah. They're subjective, they're meshubit to their taivas. How could they be the ones to interpret the Torah? Abul Maisa, after everything was said and done, and Moshe Rabbeinu, he answered them back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maisa didn't just notify us of the mitzvahs. Over Nosan Lanu Es HaTorah, he gave us the Torah. He made us the Bailam over the Torah. Famous Gemara in Bava Metzia, there was a machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim about the Tanur Shalach Noi. And Rabbi Eliezer would not give in to the Chachamim. And Rabbi Eliezer said, if the halach is like me, a baskel should come out in the Shemayim and say the halach is like me. And a baskel came out. And a paskel like Rabbi Eliezer. Omid Rabbi Yeshua, and he said, Torah loy v'shemayim. Once you gave us the Torah, the koyach is bideyodim to interpret the Torah. That's nosan lanu es ha-Torah. That's pshat. Ilu kervonu lefnei har Sinai. He would have brought us out. We would have known the mitzvahs. Aber v'loi nosan lanu es ha-Torah. Even if he wouldn't have made us a bailam on the Torah, dayenu, it's enough to thank him. Kal v'chaymer ben benayshel kal v'chaymer, that he gave us the koyach to interpret it. And he gave us the chachamim to interpret it. We have to be thankful for that. With this we can answer another question, which is asked. Because we make a bracha every day to Birchas HaTorah, Hashabach HaBonim Yikol HaAmim, V'Nosan Lanu Es HaTorah. So the Mefarshim asked the question, Hashabach HaBonim Yikol HaAmim. The Medrash says, Hashem Yisinai Bo V'Zorach Miseir Lamai, Hashem offered the Torah to all the nations of the world. They all rejected it. So where is the special Bechira in Klal Yisrael? This is very good. He offered the mitzvahs to every nation. Some, there are those Svarim that say he only offered mitzvahs that are shayach to that nation, right? Like Zeilut Yishmal and Znus Tamayav, whatever. But even, let's say, Naniach, he offered them the mitzvahs, the whole package of mitzvahs. He only offered them the mitzvahs. Over the Nosan Lonuas HaTayra, that he never offered to the Goyim. That's Asher Boch Arbonim Yikola Anim, the Nosan Lonuas Tayrosai. He chose us. We are the only ones that he offered the Torah to. We learn Megillus Rus on Shavuos. There's many reasons given why we learn Megillus Rus on Shavuos. One of the reasons that's given is because Rus shows the exact mahalach that Klal Yisrael had to go through before they were makabel the Torah. The same way Rus went through a lot of tzaras. She had to leave her father's home, Eglay Melech Mayav. She had to leave the riches and the royalty. She had to go through a whole bunch of Torah. She lost her husband, and she lived in poverty together with Naomi till they finally made it to Eretz Yisrael. And she lived like an isolated person because a Mayavis was looked down upon. Who is this Mayavis? Who is this stranger? They're not allowed to come in Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael considered her persona non grata. She went through Bizyonis. And finally, she was accepted in, and not stopped accepted in, but she is the Ima Shel Malchus. That's what Klal Yisrael had to go through. Klal Yisrael, they went through Golos Mitzrayim with all of its tortures. And then finally they go out into the Midbar. And Vayan Chashem Vayarivecha, they had to go hungry over there, and they had to go through the Masois. This was all a cleansing process for Klal Yisrael to finally, their Zoyche to be the Am HaNivchar. That is one of the reasons why we learn Rus, because it very much parallels the Mahalach of Klal Yisrael. Shlomo Brevda, he said over that a Zokin once told his father that he was a little boy in Cheder here in America, and he sat next to another boy. They learned in the same class. He says he was a pretty edel kid, and his friend was a big shtickmacher. He said, any time he himself would do something, even the slightest little thing, bam, he'd get a patch. Rebbe really gave it to him. That other boy who was a big shtickmacher, you know, Rebbe did not do a thing to him. And this went on a daily basis. So finally, you know, Saflonis, you know, he couldn't handle it anymore. Well, fair is fair, what's going on? So he asks the Rebbe, how you talking? I basically behave myself, and any little thing, I get a patch. And that guy does whatever he wants, and the Rebbe ignores it. The Rebbe was not, taken aback. He answered calmly. He said the following. He says, it's a davar yadua that if you take cream from the milk, and you pound it, and you pound it, and you pound it, you're able to produce butter. But sour milk, you could pound it von Heinz bis morgen for weeks. It's not going to produce anything. He says, you're best, I'm a good boy. And I see in you that you could produce beautiful butter. So on you I pound. That fellow I gave up on long ago, he said, I don't see anything coming from him. So what's it going to do me any good that I have to, you know, to hit him? So this is the mahalach with Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael, the Umar Zaylam, Kodesh Baruch Hu, he's not that harsh on them. Of a Klal Yisrael that produces that butter, that's where the pounding is, and that's the Tzad HaShoveh between Rus, her mahalach that she had to go through, and Klal Yisrael. But there's another nekuda that we see over here, how vital Rus's Kabbalah was to become a Yid. And that's a lesson to us of how vital our Kabbalah Satayr has to be. Rus, she's observing. Take a look. For 10 years, there's a hunger in Klal Yisrael. Elimelech is from the Gedolei Ador. He dies before his time. Naomi is at Tzadekis. She loses her husband. She loses her two sons. They lose all their nechosim. They are paupers. So this should have been the biggest thing to discourage Rus from wanting to come to Klal Yisrael. Zu Taira, Zu Skara. How harsh could you be? And Me'idach Gisa, she sees her father, Eglay Melech Mayav. Achayte Mayav is Yodua for the Avi Avay Satuma in Znus and other Aveiris. And Shanan Mayav is peaceful, everything is mamish. They never were put into gullahs, they never had to move from their country, garnished. Everything is peaceful. So a normal person, said, this is fair. I'm going to become a Yid when everything is so fine in my hometown. Why should I do this? And Rus saw the exact opposite. The reason why this is happening to Klal Yisrael is because when there's cream and you pound it, it'll turn into butter, right? And Maya doesn't have a future. And she took the opposite approach. And as much as Naomi wanted to convince her and said, how yeshli bonim b'mei, is there any hope for me? And even if there is hope for me and I get married and I have children, you're going to wait for them. Halahente again. She spoke logic. She never spoke logic to her. You don't have a chance of getting married this way. I'm not going to have children, right? What are you going to come as a foreigner in Eretz Yisrael? How are you going to get a shidduch? You're going to be an aguna for the rest of your life. And Naomi is not nisbah. And the second double was she got the best shidduch. She never got the most kosher shidduch in Klal Yisrael. So that's a tremendous lesson to us, what our Kabbalah has to be. The Sfarim HaGdoshim say that Rus was misakin the avla of her zayda Loit. Because Avraham Avinu sees that it's not good that Loit should live with me. So he says, Nei oris lefanecha, you'll go to the right, I will go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. Mashlama Adavar Daimizak Rebrevda. There was a fellow that had a Talmud Muvik in his yeshiva. Rosh Yeshiva had a Talmud Muvik. Mamish, he was close to the Rosh Yeshiva. One time, two fellas come to the Rosh Hashiva and they say, we know for a fact that this Talmud did a chumi is the kaveir, for which he can't stay in the yeshiva. And the Rosh Hashiva was baidik, and sure enough, it was true. And he calls over the Talmud, he says, I'm sorry, I'll try and find you a different place, but here you can't stay. So the Talmud would be an emzdik Talmud. He said, oh, please let me stay. Please, I beg you, Rosh Hashiva, I lost myself. It was a moment of weakness, and I promise I'll do tshuva, please. That's what he should have done. That's really what Loit should have done. Loit was a Talmud Muvik of Avraham. And Avraham says, I'm sorry, you can't be part of my yeshiva anymore. Loit should have begged and begged and begged. No, please let me stay. No! He sees the cold kicker. Oh, it's a nice offer. Okay, it's been fine. Zaygesund, Uncle Avraham. You know, I'll be on my way. And what happened to him? Take a look what happened. And Rus was misakin the Aveira of Loit. As much as Naomi tried discouraging her from coming, she said, go back. Go over there. And she held on despite the logic of Naomi. You're not going to find the shidduch. You're lost for the rest of your life. That's the way our Kabbalah Satayr has to be. It has to be with such erenskite, and it has to be with such a tkifus that we say, no matter come what may, we're holding on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a lesson for us in Kabbalah Sal Malcha Shamayim, Kabbalah Satayr, Yerosim Shetaka Bizoyche, and Emizdika Kabbalah Satayr, and Shuas Taka Isman, where we speak about the roots of David HaMelech, and Sfarim HaGdoshim say that there is Shaychus to Geula there. Yerotzen maybe we'll talk to Mizaych to the Geula Shleim and Harry Mein or Mein. A good Shabbos, and a Freilich and Yom Tov.